This is Terry Lewis, and this is Faith Point, the radio ministry of Faith Point Church in Lexington, Kentucky. Today, I'm sharing with you a few moments from a message called Who Shall Deliver Me? And I believe that this powerful message about grace will minister to you, be a blessing to you, encourage you, and help you as we understand the power of grace and the work that Jesus Christ is doing in our lives. Now stay tuned at the end of today's program. Let's pray together, and I want to extend to you my personal invitation for you to join me at a Faith Point worship service this Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. I'll have all that information for you in just a few moments. But for now, let's get into the Word as we talk about who shall deliver me. Chapter 7. I normally preach out of King James Version, not because I have some particular theological persuasion to that. It's what I was raised on. It's what I know. It's what I've preached out of for 35 years, and I'm too old to learn something different, so leave me alone. But I do use other versions, especially when it's a little complicated. And I'm going to Romans 7 and 14, and this is a passage of scripture that I would normally use a different version for, but I just really felt like that by staying in King James, it brings out a clarity to this. And I want to spend a few minutes on from Romans 7 and 14 all the way to 25. Let's begin reading. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am! Who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God. Go ahead and testify, somebody. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Somebody say amen to the word. I want to just zero in on that one little question. Verse 24, Paul said, who shall deliver me? That's what I want to talk about for just a few minutes this morning. Who will deliver me? So just ask that question. Who will deliver me? Spirit of God. Hallelujah. We love you. You are so good. We praise you. We thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you for the powerful anointing that is in this house. The amazing worship. The miracles that I know that have happened. Lives have already been changed. Hearts touched. Bodies healed, people encouraged. Thank you, sir. Hallelujah. Now, you've given me an assignment, and I need to do it your way and say your words and help your people. I'm just flesh, but I ask you to take the anointing that is on me to speak to your people. And God, please don't let me say nothing more or nothing less than what you have purpose for this house today, and I give you praise for it all in the matchless name of Jesus Christ, your Son and my Savior. And the church said, amen. As you're being seated, look at your neighbor and say, help that brother preach. Hallelujah. Who shall deliver me? Who shall deliver me? I'm going to take Romans chapter 7, and I'm going to combine that with the story of Jesus' baptism by John. And I'm going to take those two unrelated things, and I'm going to talk about grace. So let's see what I can do with that today, all right? Hallelujah. Probably one of the story that I love the most, I think, is just profound to read it and get the mental image of it, is when Jesus was baptized by John in the River of Jordan. Just a profound validation that we see when the voice of the Father comes out of the heavens and the Spirit descends on Jesus like a dove, and God says, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And John, who is not worthy to take off his sandals, is baptizing the perfect Son of God. I mean, that picture is just it's just amazing. It's in that validation moment that we see that before Jesus begins his ministry, this powerful moment of the absolute expression of God's approval in Matthew chapter 3. If you turn the page to Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 says, and then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I can tell you that in my many years of being a Christian, that there have been times that I felt so close to God. And there were times that I felt like God just dropped me off beside the road and forgot who I was. Evidently, I'm not the only one that's been in that situation. I know Jesus loves me, and you can't make me doubt that. But sometimes life has a way of making you feel like you're all by yourself. You're all alone. And you feel like that the prayers that you prayed are going about that far, and God ain't listening. Let's park that thought for just one second and move on. You need to know that you are not called to suffer. You are not called into sickness. Sometimes when things come our way, people get this misinformed theology, and they'll be like, well, God's trying to teach me something. God does not teach by sickness. God does not teach by suffering. But what God does is he will take you into the wilderness for a season of consecration and denial. There'll be seasons that the Spirit of God leads you into a place for a season of consecration and denial, because the Spirit of God knows that there is an attack that's coming your way. You know, we're all the same, and it's very understandable. Everybody wants to shout, but nobody wants humility. Everybody wants the blessing, but nobody wants the sacrifice. Everybody wants to receive, but nobody wants to give. Everybody wants to pastor the mega church. Nobody wants to pastor the church plant church with 10 people. And one of the reasons why that we excel on the, the showy parts of church, but we do such a poor job with the personal consecration part of church, is because we only focus on the high. And we feel like that if we got enough people in the pews and we got enough people shouting and enough people running the aisles, and as long as we're doing that, then God must love us. And God must approve of us, and everything must be all right. But you also need to know that there will be times when the Spirit pushes you into a place of fasting and prayer for the temptation that is ahead. I tell you right now, you don't have all of this blessing stuff when there won't be some times when the enemy tries to show up to shut this down.
And so here's what you need to know. When the Spirit pushes you into a place of fasting and prayer and we don't participate, then we lose the battle due to the lack of preparation. Victory will cost you something. I think I'll preach that one more time. Okay, here we go. Victory will cost you something. Victory, as a matter of fact, will cost you a whole lot because it takes prayer and consecration and seeking the face of God and a whole lot of denying yourself and taking up your cross. So don't get caught up in the glamour of the stage, because there's a lot of good people who started and failed because they fell in love with the limelight instead of loving the prayer closet. I know this looks good to sing and to worship and people are excited and preach and people love it. I'm going to tell you, this don't come for free. Hallelujah. There's going to be some times when you push back the plate, and there's some times that you pray, and there's some times that you say no to your flesh, and there's times that you have to put your schedule aside and your bonus aside and your time aside, because we understand the mandate that God has called us into ministry to be what God has called us to be as kingdom builders in His kingdom. That's thought number two. Thought number three, you got to know this. The devil is not your friend. Say that one more time. I said, the devil is not your friend. He is your enemy. And it's your job to decide whether or not you're going to be victorious or be defeated. The devil is your enemy when you work against his kingdom. The devil doesn't care if we come to church, jump up and down when we sing and write a check. He doesn't care about that. But the devil is your enemy when you take a stand against sin. He is your enemy when you push back your plate and fall on your knees and have a time of consecration and prayer before the Lord. He is your enemy when your personal integrity is a reflection of God's beauty of holiness. He is your enemy when you confess over your family, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord.
Father, we bless you for this day, and I thank you for your word, and I surely do thank you for grace, your unmerited favor. Thank you for the work that Jesus did at Calvary, so that by grace and mercy we have access to forgiveness, redemption, salvation, and deliverance. And I pray today that as this word has been shared, that we all receive this word about grace into our hearts. We understand who you are and what you do, and we understand the love of God that passes our natural understanding, but our spirits receive it today. Lord, let this word be a blessing to the people, and I give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, thanks, friend, for joining me today, and I look forward to seeing you at Faith Point 549 Parkside Drive in Lexington on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. For more information about this church, you can find us online at faithpointlexington.com. If you can't join us in person on Sunday mornings, you can join us online on Facebook or on YouTube at Faith Point Lexington. Thanks again for joining me today, and I look forward to joining you on tomorrow at this same time on this great Christian radio station. And until then, you have a great day.
The preceding program is sponsored by Faith Point Lexington.
Central Kentucky's Christian Radio, Life 99.
And that's where the love language becomes really, really important.
Dr. Gary Chapman on Focus on the Family Minute.
Because if you don't learn how to express love now in the other person's language, and you're not doing this because you have feelings necessarily, because I had negative feelings toward my wife in those early years after I came down off the high and we had conflicts and argued with each other. I had negative feelings. But we can love the person. If it starts with an attitude, we can say, okay, God, I'm married to them. You know how I feel about them. But I know you love them, and I'm married to them. I want to be your agent. Romans chapter 5 and verse 5, the love of God is poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. You open your heart to God, You learn their love language. With the help of God, you can express it to them even if you don't have positive feelings.
Yeah.
Hear more from Dr. Chapman about loving your spouse well at